recorder so I could just take it and put it under the table after I let people know that I'm going to record them, and that way it won't make them nervous. But Ms. Frazier, for the record here, I'd like to get your full name on tape.
Mm-hmm. My full name is Pansy Merrick Frazier.
Okay, all right. And you were born in what year?
I was born January 22nd, 1915.
Mm-hmm. 1915. In what county?
I was born in East Feliciana Parish, Clinton, Louisiana.
Okay, so you're from Louisiana.
Oh, yes, I'm Louisianian.
Okay. I knew that, but I really didn't know what part of Louisiana you were from. Okay, tell me a little bit about your mother and your father, their names, when they were born, and roughly the time that they were born.
Well, I can give you their names, but when they were born, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My mother was named Elizabeth Hayes before she married my father,
mm-hmm.
and my father's name was William DeLoss Merrick, and they were the parents of 16 children.
Mm.
Me being one of the youngest ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And for the record here, what type of work did your mother and father do during that?
Well, my mother and father, they were farmers. They lived mm-hmm. in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember much about my mother because she passed away when I was a small child.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But my daddy lived to be 82 years old.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How was your dad? How about your mom?
My what?
Your mother.
My mother died at an early age. She mm-hmm. died when I was a small child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember her.
Okay. All right. What about your great, your grandparents, your mother's people? Do you remember them at all?
Well, I can remember them slightly. I can remember my grandfather on my mother's side, and I can remember my grandmother on my daddy's side.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it went. I can remember. I can't remember my daddy's daddy, but I remember my grandmother, my daddy's mother,
mm-hmm.
and I remember my grandfather, my mother's father.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Were they farmers also in the area?
Yes, in those days that was all that was to do, you know, especially if you lived in the country, you were farmers or you didn't live in the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, going back to you, did you attend school there in Louisiana growing up as a youngster?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I attended school in Clinton, Louisiana, and then we moved from Clinton, Louisiana to Baton Rouge, and I attended school in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Was that high school?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. Ready? At that time, when you were attending school there in Louisiana, were there facilities for you to attend all 12 grades? Or did you have to leave there and go somewhere else, like so many of the people did in Kingsville?
No. When I was attending school, we only carried to the 11th grade,
mm-hmm.
and there were schools to carry you through the 11th grade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Now we'll get into the good stuff. We'll get into Kingsville. When did you come to Kingsville?
I came to Kingsville in November of 1940.
1940.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that. What brought you to Kingsville? And of course, you just indicated 1940 was when you arrived here. But tell us, share with us a little bit about that.
Oh, I met my husband in Houston, and he was working for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I happened to be in Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had never heard of Kingsville until I met him.
Mm-hmm.
I had recently been living in Detroit, Michigan, and I came to Houston on a visit, and I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he brought me to Kingsville, and my first impression was Kingsville will run as fast as you can get away from here.
Okay.
I had met someone in the station the night I was coming down, and they said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Kingsville." They said, "Don't go to Kingsville." I said, "That's the devil's territory." See, God had given it to the devil for a Christmas gift. And I thought very much when I came and I looked, and I'd been used to a lot of greenery and a lot of trees and a lot of beautiful, you know, highways and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And when I saw the shrubs and wafted desert-looking things, I asked my husband, I said, where are the trees? He said, there they are. I said, you mean those bushes? I said, those are not trees. And then I saw these little horny toads come running chasing after me one day, and I was really ready to go back. I said, what in the world was that little thing that chased me? He said, that's a horny toad. I said, never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. And I really hadn't. Mm-hmm. So I learned quite a bit by coming to Kingsville.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now when your person in Houston told you that Kingsville was devil's territory, what did they mean by that?
Well, they said there was the impression that bad things went on. You know what I mean? Here, this was the impression that I got, that this just wasn't really a nice place to live. Mm-hmm. You know,
Bad things, meaning
that's the impression that I got. They said God gave it to the devil for a Christmas present. Mm-hmm. And he said it's devil's territory, and said, so you don't want to go down there.
Mm-hmm. Now, were they referring to just the black community or Kingsville as a whole, being devil's territory?
Well, I didn't ask the question, so they just told me devil's territory. So I assumed that they meant the entire city. Yeah, mm-hmm. I assumed they meant the entire city.
Mm-hmm. And after you got here, what did that term come to mean to you?
Well, that term came to mean to me that any place is only what the people make it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if you are the type of person that's going to help make it a good place, well, it will be a good place. Mm-hmm. If not, it will still be that bad place that other people describe it as bad. I don't know what they meant by it, but this is what they told me. Mm-hmm. So I found it, as I expected, a small place to be. You know, this far in the valley and this late being developed as a city, I found it just what I had expected to be, because it's good and bad everywhere. When you go, you're going to find some good people, and you're going to find some people that not so good. Mm-hmm. So you'll have to be the judge about something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1940, of course, that was some 20, 30 years after the railroad had been founded here in Kingsville. Your husband, Mr. Frazier, for the record, why don't you just give us his name?
His name is Ogden Andrew Frazier.
Okay. Alrighty, and as you indicated earlier, he was a brakesman for the railroad. Mm-hmm. In 1940, you guys, you came to Kingsville after meeting Mr. Frazier up in Houston. Obviously, he was here because of the railroad industry. He was he found work here. Can you share with us, from your perspective, a little bit about the role of the wife of a railroad man during that time?
Yes, I can. It was a very hard role for a wife at that time. With a railroad man, most of his time is spent away from home. Mm-hmm. And the wife has a very hard job to keep the home, and if she have children, in line with the husband being away so much. Mm-hmm. And that was the hardest part that I found it being a railroad wife. Mm-hmm. Maintaining and keeping the home without him being here to give his full support.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You indicated much of the time was spent away from home. was that overnight, a day, or was that extended sometimes for longer?
Sometimes it would be extended for a month at a time, and some maybe longer sometime, according to where the job was. Sometimes the job would be a 7-day job, and it'd have to be on it, and it just didn't have time to come home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. When we talk about the difficulties, we were in the early stages of this project, and we were thinking about the questions. We talked about, well, we wanted to know more about the family role. How did other families, wives from in the area deal with their husbands having to spend days, sometimes weeks away from the home, and leaving any time of the day or night, having to go out. Was there a high divorce separation rate for the families in the area?
No, I don't think so. It was more or less most of the families that I came in contact with that had children, they were close-knit families. Mm-hmm. And they kept the home fires burning while their husbands was away. Mm-hmm. The ones that I really could say, you know, that were real families, they kept the home fires burning. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say it was divorce rate because of the husband being away. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much the family stayed together,
yes.
These railroad families.
They did.
You didn't even know you talked about them having to be away. That didn't contribute to separations and divorces.
No, it didn't, because I think the wives understood that that was their husband's jobs, mm-hmm. and they had to make a living. Mm-hmm. And it was their job to see that the home was kept together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about the role of the church during that time period in this community? How important was the church in family lives at that time?
Well, it was very important in my family life, mm-hmm. the church was, because I was from a very religious family, mm-hmm. and I saw the necessity of carrying it over into my family, the same principle that was instilled in me. I tried to instill in my children so far as their faith in God and what it took in this life to make it through this life. Mm-hmm. And so I found it very important, and I'm sure other families found it very important, because I see that that there hasn't been a falling away of the church, of those families that have been here for over the years. They are still very devoted to the church, and their children are very devoted, and their children are still taking a part and carrying the church on. Mm-hmm.
What percentage would you say, not necessarily percentages, in your own words, the number of families that worked for the railroad? Was that all Kingsville was about during that time, 1940s, railroad types of jobs?
Mostly, mm-hmm. because that was the biggest type of job it was for the black man. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they had other few jobs, but some worked at the colleges, you know, cooks or something like that, mm-hmm. or they're somewhere with the naval base. Mm-hmm. But the railroad was the main support mm-hmm. of the black family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. How did the white families at that time get along with of the other communities in Kingsville, the Anglos, the Hispanics?
Well, I found not too much trouble with the other races, because mm-hmm. there wasn't too much involvement either. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they kept them kind of at a distance. Mm-hmm. And that kept a pretty good relationship between the races. Mm-hmm. They weren't going to school together. They weren't mixing socially in any type of way. And so that kept them just pretty much at a distance from each other.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And that's socially. In other words, socializing, the races did not do that much mixing. What about on a political? Did you find many blacks involved in political aspirations or goals during that period?
Not when I came here, they weren't, mm-hmm. because they felt as, you know what I mean, it wasn't going to do any good anyway. Mm-hmm. And so they took that attitude as toward whatever involvement it was. Just in the later years have they started to be involved more, especially since the integration of the schools. Mm-hmm. They have started to be more involved in everything than it was when I came here. They were more or less complacent when I came here about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I found that very strange, you know, mm-hmm. but this was their way.
Mm-hmm. Can you recall anybody being active during that period, perhaps a spokesperson during those early years when you first got here?
Yes, one person in particular was W.M. Thomason, mm-hmm. which was working with the NAACP at that time, mm-hmm. and he tried to really wake the people up, open their eyes to what was going on. Mm-hmm. He had a hard job, but I think he did a good job. He put forth lots of efforts, mm-hmm. and I think that his efforts paid off in the long run. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even though many of the black families had good paying jobs, and many of them had the resources to purchase automobiles, houses, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that during that time, white society was more receptive to blacks in this area? I mean, meaning in South Texas, or was it just about like other areas of the country, South being Alabama, Northeast?
Well, I didn't find any difference. Mm-hmm. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm. Was there much segregation?
Yes, whole scale. Wholesale segregation.
Mm-hmm. In Kingsville?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Can you share a little bit of that with us? Because see that I wasn't born in Kingsville until 1951, uh-huh. and even though I can recall some of it, the earlier years, I don't know that much about it. But what was Kingsville like when we talk about segregation? Could they go downtown and partake of services like the other races? Share with us a little bit of that.
No, they couldn't. A lot of things they couldn't share. They couldn't share the theaters and the drugstore where they would serve the ice cream and things like that, or even buy Coke in the drugstore and things like that. It was very, very segregated. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to want to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Tell me, you raised five children in Kingsville.
I sure did.
Okay. What was education like during that period for blacks in the community?
It was very poor. Education facilities and means going to school and facilities at the school was very, very below standard. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, wasn't pleased. Mm-hmm. And I thought of moving away several times due to educational opportunities for my kids, because I had five. Mm-hmm. And I knew what a problem it would be to send five kids away to high school. That just would seem almost impossible. Mm-hmm. So I worried a lot about it, and I prayed a lot about it. Mm-hmm. And finally, when they did get ready to go to high school, they had integrated the schools. They had didn't have any more than what they could get by giving them.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Douglas was the
Douglas was the school and the only one, mm-hmm. and it wasn't up to standard. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, lot of many people talk about in the community today about those days in school where we did not have the opportunity to complete beyond the 11th grade. Did your children, any of your children, experience that in Kingsville?
No. Mm-hmm. As I said, when I came here, it was only through the 8th grade. It wasn't through the 11th. In the later years, they added the 11th grade, and from the 8th through the 11th, and he only had a few students. They had students come in from Alice, mm-hmm. and other places to make up enough children to have those grades. Mm-hmm. And not any of my children witnessed any, because when my oldest daughter was old enough to go to high school, they had integrated, mm-hmm. and that was a relief to me. Mm-hmm.
Pardon me. Those families that had children that, and of course you probably heard talk about it, but that period when you could not go beyond the 8th grade here in Kingsville, where were some of the schools located that the families would send their children to?
Well, some of the children went to Houston, some went to San Antonio, some went to Corpus. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. those were the favorite places that most of them would go, because some of their people probably lived in Houston or San Antonio or Corpus, or some of them may have commuted back and forth to Corpus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Let's go back just for a second. We're talking about the housewife, the wives of these railroad men. Were there any special clubs or auxiliaries for the wives of the railroad men? And if so, share with us a little bit about those organizations and what went on.
You know, it wasn't very much of anything going on when I first came to Kingsville in the way of clubs or auxiliaries or anything. I think they had, the brakesmen had the CTA, mm-hmm. and the wives had an organization, I think. Mm-hmm. And other than church, that was just about it.
Mm-hmm. So the wives, from what you're saying, did most of their service work in the churches.
Yes, in the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now you mentioned the CTA, Colored Trainmen of America. Can you share with us a little bit about that organization and maybe how it got started and the role of it?
Well, no, I can't because when I came, you know, my husband was a member of the CTA, but so far as how the organization started and whatnot, I don't have the information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. The brakemen themselves, did, other than the CTA, Colored Trainmen of America, did they do any community projects for the community, for the people in the community that you can remember?
Were there any projects?
Mm-hmm. Did they take on anything like picnics, celebrations for the community?
Occasionally, yes. They would mm-hmm. have on the 19th of June. I can remember some of those celebrations after I came to Kingsville. Of course, I was from Louisiana, and I didn't know anything about 19th of June. Mm-hmm. So that was something new to me. Mm-hmm. I had to learn about that myself. We never celebrated it in Louisiana, only the 4th of July.
Uh-huh.
So they had that, and then after I was here several years, they formed several civic clubs in mm-hmm. the community, and which was very active and lasted for a while, but as the years, they faded out, mm-hmm. and time brought on changes, and other things come in, and other people came in, and so it's been such a great change since mm-hmm. I've been in Kingsville.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. When we talked about the organizations and the church being an important role for many of the families, how did the wives of the railroad men interact? Did you just have a friend that happened to be the wife of a railroad worker and you became close with that person? Or did you have, was there a bond between those wives? And if so?
No, I never did notice any particular seeking out anyone, you know, just a specialty associated with because mm-hmm. Kingsville is a small place. It still is a small place.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was friends. Mm-hmm. That's the way I saw it. We only had a few people, so these few had to just say stick together regardless of whether they were railroad people or other people that was working other places. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't no difference there. Mm-hmm. It made no difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you recall any quilting clubs between the women? Did you exchange any embroidery ideas? Anything like
yes,
that?
Yes, I remember we had a sewing club once,
mm-hmm.
and we would get together and embroider and sew and socialize and mm-hmm. things like that, but it didn't last very long. I think they found other things to do that was more profitable than sewing, embroidering. So
it soon
fell away to other things, you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Some of the people, well, we did that when we had small children and we had to be, say, more or less homebound.
Uh-huh.
But some of the others, found jobs and whatnot, and it fell away to uh-huh. that.
Okay. Just different things drew them away from that.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Were some of the embroiderers good at their work?
Oh yes. Some of them was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Did you participate in that?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Uh-huh. What were some of your specialties? What types of things did you make?
Oh, I like to not so much embroider. I like to knit, and I just crocheting, and because I do a lot of sewing, still do, mm-hmm. and I wasn't so much interested in the sewing part. I was interested in the social part of it, mm-hmm. because I did my sewing at home, mm-hmm. and sewed for my family, and I already know how to sew, so it wasn't too much of interest there for me.
Okay. In 1940, when you first came to Kingsville, where were the boundaries for the quarters?
Well, it consisted of the same area it is now. Mm-hmm. It hadn't expanded very much for the quarters, mm-hmm. which is known, the same area that we have now, known as the quarters. Because mm-hmm. where I lived wasn't developed. There wasn't any houses up here. They were, you know, more or less down by the day and night, and that area was the developed area, mm-hmm. and these other areas have developed since I've been here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's not much bigger than now than it was when I came here.
Okay, so we're basically talking about Lott Street North, mm-hmm. back to Caesar South, mm-hmm. Armstrong over here to the west, mm-hmm. and what, back over to Fifth Street, just to the west of the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
that's right.
And it really hasn't expanded any. Do we have fewer people in the quarters today than we did during that time?
I think we have more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. More people. There wasn't very many people here when I came here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you ever hear your husband talk much about the railroad, his work? Did he bring it home with him?
That's all he talked about. Sometimes I wasn't really interested.
Okay. All right. Can you recall any of his, what did he seem to be preoccupied with? The difficulty of the work, the danger in the work?
I don't. I think he loved his work. Mm-hmm. And he put himself into his work, and he was a very good worker, mm-hmm. on the railroad, and he loved it, and he gave it his best. Mm-hmm. And not very many complaints, of course, you know, they would have a few complaints, but overall it didn't, you know, damn nothing that he thought about the railroad. He knew it was dangerous, mm-hmm. and he knew that he had to be very particular, you know, to keep from getting hurt. Mm-hmm. So I think he'd taken those precautions, and he was lucky. He retired without any injuries or anything. That the whole 30-some years he worked on the railroad, he retired in good health and no injuries from the railroad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In the early research of this project, we went back and reviewed some of the records. And one of the stipulations that Mrs. King had in terms of the railroad coming to Kingsville, coming through this area, was that they had to have black brakemen working on the line coming through here. Are you familiar with any of those terms? Have you heard talk about her being adamant about those demands?
Yes, I have, and this was the reason that they really kept them on there, mm-hmm. because of her stipulation that they would be, you know, hired. Mm-hmm. And because the jobs really wouldn't have lasted for the brakemans if it hadn't. It mm-hmm. would have been taken over by other races. Mm-hmm. And so this is the purpose of them forming that CTA, I think, is to keep and get a union to keep the black man still working. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that we've lost any progress in recent years for the black brakemen out there?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think it has been an advantage, mm-hmm. To move on up and to move out into the other areas. I don't think we've lost anything. In fact, we've gained.
Okay. You think we have still have the numbers in terms of black brakemen? And of course, we have other areas that they work in now, conductors and engineers out there that they didn't have during that period. But do you think we still have the blacks in numbers that we had then in those early years?
No, we don't. I find that so many of the children, especially the ones that came along with mine, my kids and whatnot, they're not interested in railroad. And so therefore we don't have that many out there anymore, because when I came here, they would, family would, would inherit the railroad, it seemed like to me. They would, if their father worked for the railroad, they'd work for the railroad. But not anymore. The children are not interested. And I can well see why, because after being raised in a family where the daddy was a railroad man, they've gotten used to, not having the daddy there and not having a really close family life.
Okay. You were talking a little bit about the children. I'm not sure if the tape picked up on that because it cut off there right at the end. But sometimes the children seeing the difficulties of their dad's work and not wanting to pursue that line of work. Did your children talk about their dad's work at all while growing up? Complain about dad being away all the time, not being able to take them to baseball games, and football games, and those kinds of things?
Yes, they did. And when they were teenagers or out of high school, they worked during the summer a couple of years on the railroad as to make money during the summer. They hired these brakesman's children to work, and all three of my boys worked on the railroad, and that's when they really became convinced that this is not what I want to do.
You think at that time they became aware of the difficulties that their dad had to put up with and endure?
Yes, they did.
Taught them more than words did.
Yeah, that's right. They had the experience, and so that was a good way to make a decision that this is not what I want for my life.
Okay. What about the girls? You have two girls. How did they take their dad working for the railroad? How did it affect them?
Well, in the same way that he was never here, especially in emergencies and things that would arise in the family, I always had to deal with it alone because he was never here. And it affected them a great deal. And when my oldest girl became old enough, where she would always fill in where she could, she did a lot of things that her daddy, would have done if he'd been here. So it put a little bit on her, too, to assume some of the things that he, would have done.
Okay. We talked about Kingsville being pretty much segregated during those early years. What were some of the black businesses in the area, in the quarters, when you first got here?
We had the day and night cafe and a little grocery store. Of course, I think this was the only two business, a barbershop. I think this consisted just about all the businesses they had.
Okay, a little grocery store, barbershop, and the day and night cafe. This was, about 1940 when you first got here? Did the blacks frequent those businesses pretty much, or did they go outside of the community to do the bulk of their shopping and their trade?
I think they frequented them, and they, spent their money there. And, of course, some of the things in a small grocery store don't carry, and you would have to go out for some of the things that you wanted. But I think they supported them well, the ones that were in the community.
What happened to those to those stores that were in the community during that time? We are 1989, and we still have, of course, the day and night, and it's about the only business we have and the corners.
Yes. They faded out with time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The small grocery stores don't exist anywhere anymore, I don't think, in any neighborhood. I think they've all been removed with the supermarkets and whatnot. Mm-hmm. They just can't hold on, you know.
Did we have any black undertakers, funeral parlors in the area?
No. Closest one would be Corpus.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's when someone died, the bodies were taken to Corpus.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. And then brought back to Kingsville.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Did we have a special burial place for blacks during that time?
Yes, we had a special place in the Chamberlain Cemetery. And that was one of our projects with one of the city clubs that I belonged to, because it was very unkempt. Mm-hmm. Because it was over in the corner and didn't have any attention whatsoever. So we, as a civic club, taking on that project to keep it clean. Mm-hmm. And for 6 or 7 years, I think we kept it clean as paid someone to go out there and clean it up and the grass cut and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then finally they instituted it into the other part, and I think the whole cemetery now is kept under one deal. Mm-hmm. But when I came here, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Very, very unkept.
Segregated
area. Yes, segregated over in the corner, and that's where it stayed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what were some of the other civic things that you guys did in that club we just talked about, other than cleaning up the cemetery?
Well, we did a lot of socializing. We had to have an outlet somehow. Mm-hmm. So we did a lot of socializing. For me, we clubs in Corpus, and we'd get invitations from them, and they would get invitations from us, and that was our biggest social life, other than the church, going to church, a lot of socializing, and I guess we did other things other than just clean up the cemetery. We would help, charities, organizations, mm-hmm. and things like that. We did other things, but that was one of our main projects, cleaning the cemetery. Mm-hmm.
Did you have very many people help you on that project? Or was that one project that was difficult to get?
Well, only the club members helped on it. We didn't ask the community to help. We only supported it through raising funds through the club, mm-hmm. to raise money for the club. And we would have fish fries and different other things, going on to raise money, mm-hmm. for funds.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the club?
Oh, let's see. I think it was the Progressive Civic Club. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was Progressive Civic Club.
Okay. Can you recall any of the officers in there?
Yes. Dr. Hodge was the president. She's the one who organized the club. Mm-hmm. And she was president at one time. Ms. Eva Mack was president. And mm-hmm. I was treasurer at one time. And different ones, I can't recall all of them, but those were some of the members. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We quite often forget about the old home remedies that were used during the early years for sicknesses and ailments. Can you recall any special concoctions that you might have used either for yourself or your husband when illness came on? Outside of going to the drugstore and getting prescription drugs, home remedies.
Well, yes, I can't remember my husband ever being ill, where I could, to say doctor on him unless it was cold. Mm-hmm. But with my children, raising my children, I resorted to some of the old home remedies, such as acidity in whiskey for the colic and things like that, which children get sick in the middle of the night, and the doctor won't know myself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I did.
Okay, and you said acidity?
Asphidity.
Asphidity.
Yeah, okay. But asphidity, you can't buy it anymore. Hmm. Yeah, and I relied upon turpentine for cuts and wounds mm-hmm. and things like that. And so most of the time it was the doctor, though, with me. I was just afraid to take too many chances on any type of home remedies mm-hmm. with my children. Mm-hmm.
You pretty much had started to move away from that.
Yes,
when the children were
yes, born. Mm-hmm. Because lots of time you can't be sure. You can treat a child sometime for one thing when it really is something else, mm-hmm. and he needs the doctor's attention. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the doctors were pretty, you know, available. It wasn't like I had to go 5 or 10 miles to get a doctor, so mm-hmm. I relied on doctors.
I remember my mom and my aunt talking about turpentine and sugar.
Yes.
You sound like you recall that. What was that used for?
Oh, they used that on us when I was a child, and I hated it because it always made me sicker than when I was at first. And I never thought of using it on my kids. You know, a lot mm-hmm. of things I wouldn't dare think of using on my kids, but, you know, my daddy used on us mm-hmm. because the times just had changed, and you mm-hmm. just wasn't using those things anymore. So I always consulted the doctor, mm-hmm. you know.
Did blacks borrow any of the herbal remedies from the Hispanics in that period down here that you know of?
Well, I tell you, I haven't been closely associated with Hispanics since I've been in Catesville. I've been here 47 years, and I haven't been closely associated with any Hispanics. I don't mm-hmm. know anything about anything that they do or anything, because mm-hmm. I've never been in contact with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, well, I recall earlier on the tape here, you talked about the area being isolated, mm-hmm. groups kept away from each other. Mm-hmm. And, okay. Alrighty, let's move to another area, another topic that quite often people fail to bring out in their research of Kingsville and the quarters. The King, Mrs. King, again indicated that blacks would be given jobs on the railroad. What about the ranching industry in Kingsville?
Ranching.
Mm-hmm. King Ranch, one of the largest ranches in the world. Did blacks that you know of work out there on the ranch? And what was the relationship between blacks and the King Ranch?
I can't remember any relationship because I don't know anyone black that ever worked out there mm-hmm. On the ranch, you know. And only thing I can recall is some nurses that worked out there occasionally when someone would be sick. Mm-hmm. And they would work, nurse someone that was sick. That's the only blacks that I can ever remember having any type of job like that. Mm-hmm. It was strictly Hispanics. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why that was? Why blacks did not work in other capacities out there? Or did you ever hear any speculation or talk about why blacks went out there as cowboys?
No, I haven't. I really have never heard it discussed. Mm-hmm. But I imagine she was meeting out of jobs when she made a stipulation that the blacks would have the railroad and the Hispanics would have the ranch, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess that's the way she figured it. Mm-hmm. So I never have heard it discussed, have you?
No, I haven't. I really haven't. And that's one of the things that we're trying to get a finger on. No one has heard of blacks working out there as cowboys. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're all aware that black cowboys do exist and played an important role in terms of building this nation. But very rarely are they given the credit. Mm-hmm. Okay. During that period, one of the other interviews that I interviewed last week talked about the Ku Klux Klan being alive in Kingsville during that period. Were you ever aware of their existence in Kingsville?
Oh, I heard them talk about it after I came to Kingsville, but it was non-existent when I came to Kingsville. That was some years before I came here. It was non-existent. I think it had gone out of existence when I came here, mm-hmm. because I heard very little about it, but I did hear that it did exist.
Mm-hmm. But had died.
Yeah, it died.
In 1940.
Yes, it died. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The black men working for the railroad made good money. Do you think that they invested it wisely for the time period?
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. I think for the time period, when I came here, it was spent very unwisely, mm-hmm. because I don't think they had the understanding to really know, you know what I mean, that money shouldn't be spent that way. It should be spent to build, mm-hmm. and it didn't seem like anybody was building or trying to build mm-hmm. anything. They were just spending it, mm-hmm. having a good time. Mm-hmm. But in the later years, things changed. People seemed to take a different view of life. Mm-hmm. And different people moved in with new ideas and new whatnots. And I think they started to grasp the idea that I should be doing more than I have been doing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the changes over the years, you know what I mean, in concepts of spending money. Mm-hmm.
Who were some of the respected families during that period, that time period?
It wasn't too many. I tell you, it wasn't too many families here. They're more or less transient people, you know, but come and go, mm-hmm. established families in the Kingsville. And I guess that's why, you know, it was such a, you know, small number of people, because they would come and they wouldn't stay. Mm-hmm. They would come and then leave. Mm-hmm. So, it was quite a few families. Let's see, there were the Hayes family, and there was the Baker family, mm-hmm. and there was the Cornell family, and and the Wilson family, mm-hmm. and there wasn't too many more. Okay. Just say families.
Okay, and those were the respected families, mm-hmm. In the community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take them one at a time. The Hayes family. What were they involved in, Kingsville? Were they railroad people?
Yes, he was railroad, and they were involved in church. Mm-hmm. And I think he was kind of involved in the NAACP and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about the Wilson family?
The Wilson family, I didn't know too much about them. They were involved. They didn't belong to my church, so he was a railroad man, mm-hmm. and she was up in age, but the children were just about grown and gone. You know, when I came here, the Wilson family, they didn't have any small, that's all right, you don't need to have any small children at the time. They were just about grown, mm-hmm. at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the Connell family.
The Connell family was an old family, well established, with a bunch of children, and mm-hmm. very much so involved in the church and in the community. The boys were very much involved. And
mm-hmm. Were they railroad?
He was with the shop. I guess you'd call that railroad, too. Mm-hmm. The daddy was. Uh-huh. He was railroad. Uh-huh. But he was the type of fellow that didn't have to leave home. Mm-hmm. And so he was in town all the time, and he had, you know, a lot of time with his family, where the ones that were working out of town didn't.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you hear of very many family feuds during that time period?
No, I didn't. I thought people got along very well, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear too many family feuds.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of squabbling between
No, not a lot of
fighting.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who was the largest family in Kingsville during that time?
I think the Cornell family was the largest family.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I believe we still have some descendants of the Cornell family still living here. We still have some descendants of the Cornell family still living here in Kingsville.
Oh, yes.
Mrs. Campbell's husband, mm-hmm. Annie Campbell. Okay, it's Cornell. That's the family you're talking about.
Yeah,
speaking
uh-huh.
of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All righty.
And Ms. Thomas, Gladys Thomas, she's one of the Cornells. Mm-hmm. That's still in Kingsville.
Okay. Okay. Family family tradition and family pride is very, very important. Certainly when we talk about communities. Was there a lot of was there a sense of pride that families had during the period? You know, I'm a Cornell.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In about 1960, the area started to, the railroad started to decline, started to pull off passenger trains, started to make a whole lot of cuts. How did the community perceive those early changes? Did they start to get shaken up by it, or did they know what was going on? The railroad families, those families that were involved in that industry?
No, I don't think they were pretty much shaken up. I think they seemed to realize that time brings on a change. Mm-hmm. And they were just about, made adjustments to it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it shook up anybody. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because we know that things are not going to stay the same. And I think they were well aware that the time had come for changes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How did your husband and the men out there on the railroad get along with the other races that worked with them? Did they talk much about that?
Yes, they would discuss that quite often, and sometimes the relationship was good and sometimes it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Because they found a lot of prejudice out there, and of course they resented it, and, mm-hmm. and sometimes it was good and sometimes it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Can you remember any specific incidences that he talked about that you'd like to share with us?
No, I don't. I can't recall just anything specific that he would talk about. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Your husband retired in what year? From the railroad?
Let's see. He retired in 70. No, I think he retired in 69, I think he did. He was retired in the 70s, mm-hmm. because he died in 79. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. After he retired, did he appear to miss his work, his job?
Yes, he did. He became very restless, mm-hmm. and he wasn't the type of fellow to get himself involved in something else. Mm-hmm. And I think he did just very much miss it.
Mm-hmm. Did he talk about it much after he retired?
Well, I never heard him say he regretted retiring, but he missed his old buddies and getting up going and being away because he loved to go, and mm-hmm. he missed the routine. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I can recall when I was a little boy, one of the real benefits of railroad families was the fact that we could ride trains free, take that pass, and just go anywhere. Can you just share with us maybe some of your fondest trips with the family on the railroad, riding the trains, and that whole experience?
Yes, we rode the train as a family. We would go to summer vacations, go see my people, or his people, or mm-hmm. something like that. I'll just go to Houston, just go shopping, mm-hmm. something like that. We took advantage of it, mm-hmm. and enjoyed it. We would go to Brownsville and go to Mexico and spend the day and come back the night and things like that. We really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Did the kids enjoy those benefits?
Yes, they did.
Riding the train?
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know that was one of the, when they pulled the passenger train off, of course they pulled the day train off, and we only had the night, and when they pulled the night train off, I was so disappointed, because I used to love riding the train from Kingsville to Houston, and that whole experience. Did whites and Hispanics come into the community? Do you see them around here in the quarters very much?
No, not very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We didn't, when I say we, blacks didn't go to their areas, and nor did they come into
to ours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was the relationship like between the quarters and law enforcement during that period?
I never had any involvement with the law enforcement, so I just really don't, you know, anything about them, you know what I mean? I had very little experience with the law enforcement because I never had a need to. I've always been a law-abiding citizen, so therefore I didn't come in contact with them.
Did you ever hear any of the people in the quarters talk about the sheriff?
Yes, I've heard discussions on the sheriff, and they would discuss some unfairness and whatnot, but I wouldn't, you know, really, the witness, I just really wouldn't, couldn't say.
Okay. Are there any topics that you would like to talk about that I haven't specifically asked you about? You've glanced over some of our questions. Are there some things that's caught your attention and you'd like to talk about them?
No, I think you've just about covered everything that you're interested in. I'm only to give you information that you're interested in.
No. we want to hear. See, I've been trying to get you to talk about your experiences in Kingsville. Mm-hmm. But we want to hear, because sometimes that's where we get the best information.
Mm-hmm.
But what are some of the things that you'd like to talk about?
I think I've covered everything in Kingsville. It's just my own place. When we finish with the church and the local clubs and whatnot, I think we've covered Kingsville and the schools. We lightly hit on those. Mm-hmm. And I think we've covered it, don't you? The jobs.
We've gone from almost A to Z.
Yeah, A to Z in Kingsville.
Okay.
I have watched it grow over the years. And it really has grown since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Expanded in area and improvement in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And it really has been a home to me.
Mm-hmm.
I found the people very friendly. I haven't found anyone that was, you know, hostile or anything like that. I found very friendly people.
Mm-hmm.
And glad to get people used to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
People used to get along with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that I have enjoyed, especially raising my family in Kingsville. I've enjoyed raising my family in Kingsville due to the fact that it's a small place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think I could have done a job with them in a place big as Houston.
If you wanted people to know one thing about Kingsville, about the quarters, that you don't think they know, what would you share with them?
Well, I would dispel the idea about it's not a good place to live,
mm-hmm.
because it's a small community.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
So you basically wanted to know that Kingsville is a good place to live.
Yeah, it is a good place to live.
Mm-hmm. And it's not that devil's place.
No, it's not the devil's territory. Of course, it gets mighty hot down here. Sometimes I think it's hell. And this heat and this dust.
Okay. All right. Why don't we? Because we're also going to be looking at a lot of the young children who've grown up in Kingsville. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your children and tell us what types of work they're doing now. As young adults?
As young adults, I have five and three boys and two girls, and they're all gainfully employed. My oldest daughter lives in Maryland,
mm-hmm.
and she's employed with AT&T.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest son lives in Austin, and he's employed with the Texas Rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And my youngest daughter's also employed with Texas Rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have two boys that live in Freeport, Texas, and they are mm-hmm. employed with Dow Chemical.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Alrighty. Well, if there's not anything else that you'd like to discuss, we'll stop it here.
And I think that they are well pleased with Kingsville.
Mm-hmm.
And they're always happy to come back to Kingsville. They always want to come home as long as I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're proud of the fact that Kingsville was their starting point.
Mm-hmm. Their roots.
Mm-hmm. Their roots, uh-huh. we're involved in, I'm involved in the Afro-American Historical Committee, mm-hmm. and it's committed to promote cultural growth among, especially the young people that don't know anything about the background of the blacks, or the history of the blacks, or anything concerning the blacks. Mm-hmm. When we first started this committee, there were so many of them that had never heard the National Negro Anthem. Mm-hmm. And so many other things that they didn't know. Mm-hmm. And so this is one reason why I think it's a good organization to belong to. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's a committee, an organization with a purpose of spreading cultural richness and cultural identity mm-hmm. Amongst black people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the purpose.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what kinds of activities do you guys have? How do you facilitate in your philosophy? How do you get that across?
Well, we usually have a banquet every year with try to get an outstanding black speaker, mm-hmm. and we also have the youth involved in projects that they are. Do each year. It's only 1 month, you know. We only have 1 month, and that's the month of February that's, you know, dedicated to black history. Mm-hmm. And all our involvements are during the month of February. Mm-hmm. And this year we had a training program that lasted a day with teachings, different aspects of teaching, which was very, very successful. Mm-hmm. And that's about, we give scholarship every year to a graduate from King High, mm-hmm. and that's about wraps up, you know, what mm-hmm. we do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Has it been successful?
It's been very successful, very mm-hmm. successful. So, you know, we've been organized 15 years. This is our 15th year, and it's been very successful.
Mm-hmm. Received well by the community.
Yes, very well received.